This is Monday evening, September 2nd, 1974, in Richmond, Virginia. The ministry is given through Brother Stephen Cohn.
May we turn to the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, Chapter 5. We begin with the second verse. Song of Songs, Chapter 5, Verse 2. I slept, but my heart was awake. The voice of my beloved, he knocketh. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, mine undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my tunic. How should I put it on? I have washed my feet. How should I pollute them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels yearned for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. He was gone. My soul went forth when he spoke. I sought him, but I found him not. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, what will ye tell him? That I am sick of love. Then we turn to chapter 7, verse 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awoke thee under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bore thee. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as Sheol. The fleshes thereof are fleshes of fire, flames of jar. Many waters cannot quench love, neither do the floods drown it. Even if a man gave all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Verse 14. Haste, my beloved, and be thou like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. We mentioned before that the Song of Songs is a song of love. The love between the virgin and her beloved. It typifies the love story of a believer with the Lord. Truthfully, our whole relationship with the Lord is a relationship of love. As we grow in the Lord, we grow in love. And only when we grow in love, we grow in the Lord, and nothing else. And in this Song of Songs we find, there are three different movements. The first movement is from the moment that the virgin received the forgiving love of God in Christ. To the time when she comes into a closer union with the Lord in His death. That is the first movement. And the first movement is summed up by this phrase, "My beloved is mine, and I am His." And then you find the Lord allows her to rest for a while. And after she has rested for a while, the Lord begins to call her to go forward. And from the call to resurrection and ascension, until she answers, responds to that call, we find the second movement. And the second movement is summarized by another phrase. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. And this evening we would like to go on to the third movement. Here you'll find a believer who has not only received the Lord Jesus as his Savior, but he has entered into an experiential union with the Lord in His death, in His resurrection, and in His ascension. Now we will think that after a believer has experienced the Lord in such a way, then his union with the Lord is complete. We will think that there is nothing more left. But as we read the letter to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, we find with Paul, after he has known the Lord on the road to Damascus, his whole passion towards the Lord, even at the time when he wrote the letter to the Philippians, his whole passion is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. But that is not all. To know Him and to know the power of His resurrection. And yet Paul continues by saying, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if in any case He may arrive at the out resurrection from among the dead. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find in the pursuit after love, in the pursuit after Christ, even after one has entered into a union with the Lord in His death and resurrection and ascension, even after he has experienced the death towards the world, towards the self, even after he has experienced the risen life of the Lord, even after he has experienced the victory of Christ, there is something more there that the Lord is calling a believer. So here you'll find it begins with, I slept, but my heart was awake. The Lord allows her to go into sleep. You know, sleep is a natural way to recover. After you have probably labored through the day, you have had enough, and then you go to sleep as a way to recover you, to refresh you once again. And in a sense, after we have experienced the Lord in a way, you find we are so full. We have to go to sleep, as it were, so that we may be refreshed for another day. But even though the virgin is asleep, his heart, her heart, is awake. Now, how can that be? How can a person be asleep, sound asleep, and yet her heart is awake? Well, it is possible. Look at the mothers. The mothers in the night may go to sleep and really sleep, but her heart is awake. If the baby should cry, she will hear it. And spiritually speaking, this is true. When a soul has entered into such a union with the Lord, even when she is asleep, her heart is still open to the Lord. And she hears the voice of the Beloved. Notice what the Lord says to her. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Here the Lord calls her my sister. Now, brothers and sisters, you know that. Who are sisters to our Lord? One day you remember our Lord's mother, brothers and sisters, they came to find the Lord. They wanted to see him. And there was a great crowd there. They couldn't get to him. So somebody passed the word to the Lord and said, your mother, your brothers and sisters are outside. They want to see you. And you remember what our Lord said? He looked around at the multitude and he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? He who obeys, does the will of the Father. So here you'll find our Lord Jesus calls this virgin his sister. In other words, she has gone on with the Lord to such a state that she is expected to do all the will of God. She is of a kindred mind with the Lord. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. She has set her heart so singly upon the Lord. She is now being sanctified by the Lord, set apart for God. The Lord calls her as such in order to draw her out to follow him once more. And the Lord said, for my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. Now, brothers and sisters, this is no doubt a picture of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that before our Lord went to the cross on that night, he took his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there the Bible said, his spirit was oppressed. His soul was in agony. He asked his disciples to pray, watch with him. And he went forward by himself. He knelt in the garden and he prayed. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. And he prayed three times there in the garden. The experience of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane is a great mystery. After 2,000 years, we still do not fully understand what that experience is. We only know one thing. There in that garden, he gave himself completely to the Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. If this is the cup that you want me to drink, I'll take it. But it has to be your will. And the conflict in the garden was so intense. You find his perspiration, his sweat came out like drops of blood. And if it not because angel appeared to strengthen him, he could very well die in the garden of Gethsemane. The very meaning of the word Gethsemane means an oil press. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were many olive trees. And even today, you'll find many olive trees there. When I was there, somebody told me that these olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane are over 1,000 years old. And they are still producing olives. Really old. And they take these olives, put them in the press and crush them, and the oil will flow out, and the oil will be as ointment for the healing purpose, for the purpose of setting apart holy oil for God. The whole experience of our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is the giving up of himself so totally to the Father's will that he may be a sacrifice for the people. And this is the experience of the Garden of Gethsemane. And here you'll find the Lord is calling the virgin to follow him in this experience. The virgin has already experienced the Lord in his death, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. She has already arrived at a spiritual height. And we will think there is nothing higher than that, so far as her spiritual life is concerned. But there is something more. The Lord is now calling her to give up herself completely, abandon herself completely to the will of the Father, to be completely broken and crushed. Nothing for herself. Shame and reproach to herself, even, that the Father's will may be done and the world may be fed, may be refreshed. And this is a call into the fellowship of his sufferings. Brothers and sisters, what is the fellowship of his sufferings? Of course, we know in one sense, we can never have fellowship with his suffering in the sense of his atoning death on the cross. There he was crucified on the cross. There his blood was shed for the remission of our sin. And in this respect, he was alone. Nobody could share that suffering because it was an atoning death. He atoned the sins of this world. He was alone there. In another sense, there are his sufferings that he does call us to share with him. The fellowship of his sufferings. Now, what is this fellowship of his sufferings? It is what Paul says in Colossians, that I may feel of that which is lacking in the tribulation, affliction of Christ in my body for his body's sake, which is the church. And in that sense, we are called into the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, there is a spiritual ministry that the Lord is calling us to join with him. But to enter into that spiritual ministry, it has to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is, strictly speaking, not a chapter on spiritual life. Sometimes we speak on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as a chapter on spiritual life. How can our spiritual life be increased? We must bear in our body the dying of Jesus. And if we bear in our body the dying of Jesus, then the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Death worketh in us, that life may work in other people. Now, oftentimes we use this as the principle for the increase of our spiritual life. But if you read the topic of that chapter, you find Paul is not speaking of spiritual life. He is speaking of spiritual ministry. It is the ministry that is in you. Now, what is spiritual ministry? Spiritual ministry is for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Christ died that the body may be formed. And he suffers for the body. And now he calls those who have grown spiritually to share with him in that suffering for the body. And that is spiritual ministry. Spiritual ministry is the imparting of the life of Christ. In order that life of Christ may be imparted to others, the dying of Jesus must work in that person. And this is the calling of the Lord to that person. In other words, in the past, as she pursued the Lord, the Lord gives himself to her in such abundance that she has arrived at a very high spiritual state. But it is for her. It is for her. And the subtle thing is, even though there has been dealing through the cross of his flesh, not I, but Christ. But here you'll find the self is still there. She has arrived at a spiritual height, but is her spirituality. Her spirituality. And now the Lord is calling her to lay down even her spirituality, to be completely crushed, to bear shame and reproach, to bear the dying of Jesus in her body. Death even to self, self-life completely. Why is it that the Lord is calling her into that kind of experience? Because the Lord knows, without bearing the dying of Jesus, there can never be the life of Jesus manifested in others. The demand is so great that the virgin finds it's very difficult to respond. When the Lord said, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night." Why should our Lord Jesus go through the Garden of Gethsemane experience? In order that, in the Father's will, He may give Himself completely to the Father and for us. And the Lord is calling us to open the door to Him, that we may go out and experience likewise. But what is the response of that virgin? Remember, she loves the Lord so much. Remember, she has arrived at such a spiritual height. And yet, her answer is, "I have put off my tunic, how should I put it on? I have washed my feet, how should I pollute them?" In other words, she considers her own spirituality. I have arrived at such a height after so much difficulty and hardship. How can I give up all these and be stood naked and be put to shame and contempt as if I have nothing? I cannot. I have been separated from the world. How can I go back to the world? I have left everything behind. How can I put on my tunic again? Self-consideration. So here you'll find, even though she has gone through much dealing, and yet that self, and the Lord is calling her to give up that self. Well, as she hesitates, she did not really refuse, but she hesitates. The Lord put in His hand through the hole of the door. And of course, there she sees the nail-pierced hand. And she stirred. She loves the Lord. So she got up to open the door. But it's a little bit too late. The Beloved has gone. And as she gets up to open the door, the Bible says, "My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh upon the handles of the lock." And myrrh always speaks of death. As she gets up, she begins to enter into the fellowship of His sufferings. When she opens the door and finds the Beloved has gone, she goes out to find Him. But her experience this time is very different from last time. Last time when she went out into the street, he found the watchman, and she asked the watchman where the Beloved is. They were very sympathetic to her. But this time, you'll find the watchman found Him, they smote Him, and they wounded her, and the keepers of the wall took away her veil from her. In other words, here you'll find she was stripped naked. Stripped naked. In spiritual experience, some people call this an experience of the dark night of the soul. In other words, after one had experienced the Lord in such an abundant way, knowing His death, His resurrection, and His ascension, we will think that now here is a beautiful soul, so complete, so perfect in Christ, so wonderful, she will be admired by everybody. And surely she will be able to help many people. Not so. Not so. She has to be called into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And that means she must give herself to the Lord in such a way that she will be stripped naked. All her virtues, all her gifts, all her grace that she received from the Lord, all her spiritual achievement, all that the Lord has added to her, will be stripped completely. The dying of Jesus will put everything to death. She is stripped naked. To the point, she asked the daughters of Jerusalem to help her. You know, in the past, the daughters of Jerusalem were way, way behind her. She has gone so far with the Lord. The daughters of Jerusalem, they were just babes in Christ. And now, when a soul has entered into the fellowship of his sufferings, when self is really completely crucified, as it were, that is the deeper meaning of the cross, the deeper meaning of death. And here you'll find self is completely stripped. There is nothing in her. She has to turn to these babies in Christ and help me. Help me. Isn't there something? Of course these daughters of Jerusalem couldn't help her. But they did help her. In what sense? When she turns to these daughters of Jerusalem and says, please help me. If you find my beloved, what will you tell him? That I'm sick of love. I do love him. But now, I'm confused. I have lost him. I have lost everything. I don't know where I am, where I stand. I only know I'm sick of love. And these daughters of Jerusalem, they, of course, couldn't understand. They said, why do you feel that way? In what way is your beloved more dear than the others? In other words, with these daughters of Jerusalem, they find the Lord can be compared with other people or other things. Just like Peter said, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What is it that the Lord is so unique to you? That He is the only one? That you are so sick of love? In what way? We don't understand. And dear brothers and sisters, it is at this point that you find she begins to tell these daughters of Jerusalem what the Lord is to her. In other words, it is at the moment when she is stripped of everything. There is nothing in her. She is asking help from these babies in Christ. And yet, unknowingly, this is the very moment that she imparts Christ to these daughters. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we think we have something to give. We start to give. But you'll find it is such a mixture. We cannot say there is none of Christ there, but there's very much of ourselves there. But when we really are brought to a point that we are willing to die with the Lord, to our self-life, to ourselves, we want nothing for ourselves, not even spirituality. We just want the Lord, the Father's will, nothing else. And when we are reduced to nothing, we think now, surely, there is nothing we can do. But remember, as we bear the dying of Jesus in our body, this is the time that the life of Jesus is manifested in others. She begins to tell them what the Lord means to her. She has lost Him. But that is the Beloved to her. And as she tells of the Lord, she has nothing to tell of herself now. Oh, brothers and sisters, sometimes we have much to tell of ourselves, even our spiritual experience. But now she has nothing to tell of herself. She has only the Lord to tell. And as she tells them of what the Lord is, you know what happens? These daughters of Jerusalem and said, now if this is the Lord, we want to find Him with you. See? Imparting the life of Christ to others. When you think that you can do something for the Lord, there is much of yourself there. But when you are brought to a point, you think now you have nothing to give. You are stripped of everything. You just have a heart for the Lord, that's all. You want Him only. Remember, this is the time that the Lord can use you. This is the fellowship of His sufferings. And the fellowship of His sufferings always fill up that which is lacking for the building up of the body. And because she is willing to go through this, she has joined with the Lord in the fellowship of His sufferings. Therefore you find as you go on, her life has entered behind the veil. Now she begins to have a life with the Lord behind the veil. There is now no veil between her and the Lord. She is behind the veil with the Lord. And her whole desire is just one, that the Lord may have everything. So you find there her experience is summed up in another phrase. I am my Beloved's, and His desire is towards me. I do not want anything from Him now. I just want Him to be satisfied. That's all. Brothers and sisters, we need to be brought into that place where there is nothing of self, but all. Where we desire nothing for ourselves, not even spirituality. We are willing to let our spiritual fame crush, shattered. We are willing to ask help from a baby Christ. There is nothing for us to maintain for ourselves. We just want to satisfy Him. That's all. Whatever His will may be, that's it. In other words, it is more than a union in life. It has now become a union in purpose, in will. Here you'll find the union of two wills. And the result of that union is there is only one purpose. What is there left for her? She only desires that she may be taken away from this world, out of her body, that she may be present with the Lord. But there is one consideration. How about the little sister? And you find Paul has the same problem. In writing to the church in Philippi, he said, there is nothing better for me to go. I'm all ready to go. There's nothing here that I should linger. I'm willing to go. Because to die is gain to me. I will be with the Lord. That's all I want. But there are new people. There is the work of God that God has entrusted to me. And for your sake, I'm willing to stay behind a little longer. You know, that is the feeling at that time. Brothers and sisters, here you'll find one who lives just for the Lord, nothing for herself. Even though she desires to be with the Lord, and yet it means that the Father's will is for her to remain behind to take care of the little sister. She's willing to do that. Here she begins to share the burden of the Lord with the Lord himself. And yet, she knows for one thing, everything still depends upon the Lord. It is the love of the Lord that sustains her. So her cry unto the Lord is still this: set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. It is the love of Christ that begins the whole story. And now she is still looking to the love of Christ to sustain her to the very end. That is the perseverance of the saints. The more we know the Lord, the more we know ourselves, the less confidence we have in ourselves. But the more confidence we have. So here you'll find she has only one desire, that the love of Christ will sustain. And she knows the love of Christ is strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as Sheol. Because the Lord loves her. The Lord is jealous of her. And jealousy is cruel. Why? Because if there is anything that does not meet his love, he has to deal with it. He will not allow any impure things to remain with her. And she welcomes that. The fleshes thereof, or fleshes of fire, fleshes of Jah. God is a consuming fire. And how he welcomes that, that she may be completely his and forever. And her last cry is, haste, my beloved. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In other words, she now lives in the spirit of rapture. There is nothing she desires but the Lord. And she is ready to meet the Lord at any time. But she does not just wait passively, inactive? No. On the one hand, you'll find she is completely delivered from this world. She is ready to go. And on the other hand, as long as it is the will of God that she shall remain here, she does the will of God in helping the little sister to maturity. And brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is calling us to do. What the Lord has done in your life, remember, it is not for you. it is for the Lord. It is for the church. But for you to be able to impart Christ to others, you have to give up yourself completely to Him. That is the only way for ministry. Only way for ministry. It will be the imparting of Christ of life. When you are weak, you are strong. When you have nothing to give, that's the time you are able to give. And it is not you, it will be Christ. So brothers and sisters, let us remember this. As we go on with the Lord, you know, this love life with the Lord is not selfish at all. This love life with the Lord is for the building of the body of Christ. And this is why we are still here. So may the Lord use these words to encourage us, to strengthen us, that we may wait for His return with our hearts towards Him and with our hands doing His will. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou dost give Thyself to us, that we may be able to give Thyself to others. Lord, deliver us from the subtlety of self. Deliver us from grasping even spiritual experience of Thee for ourselves. Make us willing to be crushed, to be deprived, stripped of ourselves. We have only one desire, that Christ may be imparted to the church. O Lord, may Thy bride be ready. May Thy return be soon. We wait for Thee, Lord. There is nothing here that we desire. We desire Thee, Lord. And we desire to do Thy will, as long as Thou dost desire that we should be here. Hear our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus.